so much, Matt. Morning, everyone. Can everybody hear me? Give me a thumbs up. Marvelous. It's so wonderful to see you all. I don't know if you can hear one of my children screaming in the background. So you get an insight into the reality of doing church at home. It's genuinely so lovely to see you all. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. It is odd, isn't it, meeting and worshipping together in this setting. So I just want to thank you and commend you all and say well done for making that choice to worship God and be with his people this morning. For all of us, this is probably a slightly uncomfortable experience. But actually, even this, I mean, I think, you know, Matt's encouragement around the loaves and the fishes and how God takes our meager offerings and he multiplies them. God always takes what is in us, very limited and of low kind of quality, if you will. And yet it's like a sweet, beautiful aroma, you know, to him. So this just know that this delights God's heart. I think it's so important. We may sit here and think, it fuels something in us, a longing to be together. And we're all very aware of the limitations in some sense of this. But I think it's important to know that just being the church together delights his heart. And the worship that we've offered him delights his heart and brings him glory. So that's my way of saying well done and thank you for connecting in. If you've got your Bibles, you want to turn to the book of Romans. We're going to be in Romans chapter 4, verse 18 to 21, where we were last week. As Matt said, if you missed last week, the audio is available to catch up on. But just to give you a very brief recap, really what we're looking at just in these 3 weeks is how do we have faith? In the in-between, we're kind of acknowledging that a bit like Abraham in terms of these verses and his story. He was somebody who lived with a promise and yet had to wait a significant amount of time and endure quite a lot of challenges in order to see that promise fulfilled. And that we are, in one sense, as Witnessable Community Church, are people who are living with a prophetic promise that God has spoken over us. We've left one thing and yet we've not fully arrived at the next. And we talked about how in one sense, that's reflective of our whole Christian life, that we're a people of promise, but with no permanent residence, that we're exiles in this world. We've received something of our salvation. We've received new hearts, but we're awaiting Jesus' return and the final fulfillment of that promise. So although this is a series for us specifically as a church in terms of how do we grow our faith in this kind of waiting season, it's also relevant for us for the whole of our Christian life. And so last week we looked at how we need to have focused faith, and we looked at how Abraham focused his faith in two areas, how he focused his faith on God's power and how he focused his faith on God's promise. And this morning we're looking at having strengthened faith. So I'll read the verses again to us, and then I'll pray, and then we'll dive straight in. So starting with verse 18 in Romans chapter 4, it says this: in hope, he, that's Abraham, believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word, and we thank you again for the opportunity to be able to connect together. There's something powerful that happens, Lord, when your people gather together to worship you and sit underneath your word, Lord. And so we do that with willing and open hearts this morning. And I pray, Father, that you just come and speak to us by your Holy Spirit. Lord God, come and instruct us and encourage us and challenge us, Lord God. Come and draw us nearer to you. Come and empower us, Lord, to live for you in the days that we live in. And we ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I guess our key verse that we're going to kind of launch off of this morning from this passage in Romans is verse 20, where it said, no unbelief made Abraham waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith. And I want us to start off just by thinking about that word waver. I love it. I think it's in the King James, where rather than the word waver, it says, no unbelief made him stagger not. So you get that sense when you think about a wavering of being firm, you know. And so when we think about that word waver, it got me thinking about about trees. My mind works in strange ways. And I don't know if you know this, but back in the kind of late 80s, early 90s, there was an experiment that was constructed in Arizona in America called Biosphere 2. And basically what they did was they created a huge kind of glass structure that was designed to try to create the perfect environment in which humans and plants could live and flourish. So a completely kind of natural environment, but enclosed in space. So free from any kind of pollution or anything else negative in kind of the atmosphere on the world, to see if they could create the perfect environment for things to grow. And in some senses, it was successful in that a lot of the kind of plant life and tree life did flourish initially. But what they noticed with the trees is that they would grow quickly and they would grow tall. And yet after a while, all the trees kept falling over. And they were really baffled by this. They couldn't understand, you know, they created this perfect living environment. Why were the trees falling over? And then they realized that the one thing they had taken out, the one thing they didn't have in this artificial environment was wind. And that actually trees need wind in order for them to grow strong. That wind, when it comes against a tree, buffets it around, and the tree reacts by deepening its roots into the ground and actually produces something called, I think it's like reaction bark or something like that, but it grows in response to the pressure of the wind. And so if you take the wind out of a tree's existence, it actually grows weak. And when it comes to our faith, I think that the same is true, but actually there are things in our lives that God allows to come to us that buffet us. But the purpose of that buffeting is actually to strengthen us. There are things that God allows to come against us that actually are for the very purpose of growing and strengthening our faith. And so to have a strong faith in the kind of in-between season is to believe in what we talked about last week, believe in the power of God, believe in the promises of God in the face of the wind, in the face of the things coming against us, and to learn to actually be grateful for the wind and be grateful for those things that come against us, knowing that actually in God's goodness and purposes, he uses those things to strengthen us. And so what I want us to think about just for a few moments this morning is what did that look like in Abraham's life, and what does that look like in our life? What are the things that God allows us to go through in the in-between that strengthen our faith? And the two things that I want us to just pick up from this verse and from Abraham's experience this morning are that God strengthens our faith, firstly, through discomfort, and secondly, through time. So let's think about that first one, God strengthening our faith through discomfort. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 11, which we referenced last week, and this is kind of, I guess, like a sister passage, really, to this one, talking about the faith of Abraham. It says this in Hebrews 11, verse 9. It says, by faith, Abraham went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. So we see two things in this verse. That is, from when Abraham was called by God in Genesis chapter 12, he was called to leave where he was living into the unfamiliar, yeah, so into a foreign land, and also into the uncomfortable in terms of coming out of his stable dwelling and living in tents. Yeah, so he's called out of security, out of comfort, into the unfamiliar and into the uncomfortable. Another way of putting that is that he's called into change and challenge. Now, I don't know how you feel about both of those words, but most of us don't like the idea of change and challenge. And yet, actually, this is what God often uses in our lives to strengthen our faith. So I just want to read a quote from this book called Emotionally Healthy Leader by a guy called Pete Scazzero. And he says this about change. He says, change is difficult for most people. I'm sure we'd all agree with that. We experience it as an unwelcome intruder derailing our hopes and plans. We prefer to remain in control and to operate in familiar patterns. And this is the key thing. Even when they fail to serve us well, We might acknowledge intellectually that God can bring new beginnings and precious gifts out of our losses, but it somehow doesn't ease the sting of loss or prevent us from trying to avoid it. It isn't easy to trust the inner voice of the Spirit inviting us to cross over into this painful and unknown new territory. You see, when God calls Abraham, if you go to Genesis chapter 11 with me quickly. Genesis 11, I'm just reading one verse from verse 31. It says this. It says, Terah took Abraham, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife. And they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. So that's where they were heading. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. So at the point where God calls Abraham in chapter 12 of Genesis, he's in a place where he's settled. And God calls him out of his settledness to go on an adventure with him. And what we've got to realize is that in order for us to grow in our faith, God requires us to move out of being settled into a place that's unfamiliar or uncomfortable for us. But actually, faith doesn't grow or isn't strengthened in times in our life where we're feeling completely settled. That comfort isn't fertile ground for the work of the Holy Spirit to change us. But actually, what God does do, as we said, is he sends things. He sends discomforts and change to shake us out of our familiarity, to shake us out of our comfort, in order that things might grow in our lives, in order that our faith might be strengthened. And this idea is behind, you know, agriculturally, the idea of tilling soil, which I know is slightly contentious. If you look into it, some people think it is, but some people think it isn't. But the theory behind soil tilling is that in order to make produce grow most effectively, you till the soil, you churn up the ground to start with, in order for things to grow and to flourish. And as I was thinking about this whole idea of God shaking up our lives and sending things to us to grow our faith, I was reminded of a prophetic word that I felt the Lord give me way back when, actually, when Hugh and Claire left. I'd been kind of leading the site for probably only about 6 months, and it just happened in the purposes of God that quite a number of people were called to different places. And I remember, you know, you feel the hit of that, obviously, kind of stepping in to lead, and suddenly people are kind of leaving. And I remember praying about it, and I remember kind of God giving me a picture, and I was looking at the church, and kind of looking at it and seeing this kind of churned up soil, and almost like there'd been a battle, and looking at it, thinking, Lord, how's anything ever going to grow here? You know, it just looks like a wasteland. And then as I was kind of meditating upon this picture, I just began to see the stems of poppies. Some of you may remember this word, the stems of poppies just pushing through the surface until the whole field was covered with red poppies. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, actually, poppies grow where there has been battle. Poppies grow where there's been warfare. Poppies grow in places where the ground has been violently shaken up. And that, as I was thinking about that, I was thinking that's pertinent again for us in this season. That actually, individually, corporately, it wouldn't surprise me if many of us are feeling that sense of like life has just been shaken up. But actually, there's a purpose to God allowing the shaking. And the purpose is, even where it looks like there's not going to be life or there's not going to be fruitfulness or flourishing, actually, it's through the shaking up that God brings it. It's in order to bring about the fruitfulness and the flourishing. You see, the reality is that being obedient rarely leads us to more comfortable places. Okay, we've got to understand that, yeah? If we want to grow in our faith, God is going to call us into uncomfortable places. Think about Abraham, yeah? So he, as we've mentioned, he leaves the security of his home to go to an unfamiliar place. Have you ever been on a French exchange trip or to a foreign country where you couldn't speak the language, didn't know where anything was? You'll know there's something uncomfortable about going to a foreign land, about going somewhere unfamiliar. He left the security of his permanent residence to go and live in tents. Now, I love camping, but it's not comfortable. Okay, so he's out of the kind of worldly comforts of the security of that indwelling in tents. he arrives. What's interesting is in Genesis chapter 12, when he arrives in the land that God has promised to give him, the first thing that it says is that there's a famine in the land. Now, you've got to imagine what Abraham is thinking when he arrives in this land. God has told him to go. He's left kind of everything behind. And he arrives there and there's a famine. There's no food. There must have been a part of Abraham who was like, I must have heard wrong. This must be, you know, the wrong place for me. They're not even able to stay there. They have to go to Egypt. They have to go somewhere else and then return later on. And I, as I was thinking about that, I just felt the Lord would want to encourage us that sometimes our obedience leads us to a place that doesn't or isn't immediately fruitful. And actually, our obedience can sometimes lead us to a place that looks on the surface like there's a famine, like there's barrenness. But just because there's not immediate fruit in that we can see, just because actually being obedient doesn't lead us to a place where everything's suddenly going amazingly well, doesn't mean that we've heard wrong. Okay, and there's an encouragement for us. If you feel a little bit like at the moment, gosh, oh, you know, we left as a church, but now we're hearing this thing and it doesn't feel quite as like we wanted it to or quite as fruitful. I just want to encourage you, it doesn't mean that we've made the wrong choice. Actually, we keep trusting God. And the very fact that actually it is uncomfortable is often a sign that God is in it. And then even for Abraham, there's more stuff. You know, his nephew gets captured. He has to go into battle later on. He's a covenant of circumcision. That's definitely uncomfortable. Then he has his son Isaac. And then God asks him to sacrifice Isaac, again, leading him into this kind of real, you know, stressful situation. And so time and time again for Abraham, being obedient meant almost, you know, going into battle. Being obedient meant going into uncomfortable situations. It was the same for the disciples. You know, when Jesus calls the disciples, they leave their occupations. He leads them into storms. They have confrontations with demons. They're sent out like sheep among wolves. They face opposition. They face the risk of arrest. Why? Because they said yes. Because they said yes to Jesus, not because they said no. That all happened because they said yes to following him. And then obviously we think about Jesus himself, and we think about where obedience led him. It led him to the cross. You know, obedience for Jesus to the Father led him to the most uncomfortable place, the most distressing place. And I think the thing that we have to ponder upon is that if obedience for Jesus led him to the cross, why do we think that obedience for us will lead us to the couch? Why do we think that obedience for us will lead us to a comfortable place when for Jesus it led him to a place of sacrifice and cost? And for us, that's something that we've got to wrestle with. But actually, when it comes to faithfully following him, but it's the way of the cross. It's not the way of the couch. And we've got to ask ourselves whether we're willing to walk the path that he walked, sharing in his suffering so that we might share in his glory. So that's the first way that God leads us or strengthens our faith, is through discomfort. I guess the question that I would leave you with in relation to that is, where is God calling you at the moment to step out of your comfort zone? Where have you settled? Where is God giving you opportunity to step out? Maybe in your day-to-day witness with your friends and your neighbors, maybe in your giving to the church in this season. Maybe it's in your expression of worship. Maybe it's in your commitment to community or being real with people. Where is God calling you out of your comfort zone? It's scary. It's not easy, but it is exciting, and it is an adventure. When God calls us out of our comfort zones, it's to an adventure with him that grows and strengthens our faith. Second way that God grows and strengthens our faith, second kind of wind that he throws against us, is that of time. So I don't know about you, but I don't like waiting. I'm not blessed with great patience. You know, whether that's kind of sitting in a traffic jam or a queue at the supermarket, or the worst one for me is like computers, like buffering or waiting for them to load. I find that really difficult. But what we've got to realize is most of us, we don't like waiting. And yet God is not in a rush. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but you know, when you think about the life of Jesus, he wasn't in a rush. You know, he took his time. He took time out to pray and be with the Father. He walked everywhere he went. He sat and ate meals in people's homes. Even when his ministry was flourishing in one place, he went on to somewhere else. He stopped on his way to somewhere to have a conversation with somewhere else, or diverted his path to be led to somebody when somebody needed to be healed. He wasn't in a rush, and when people rushed him, he didn't bow to their desires. He worked according to his own timetable. And we've got to understand that that's still how God operates now. He works to a different timetable to us, and that our frantic activity won't change his time scales in things. That if we rush around trying to get things done ourselves, but God's not in it, then there's no point in doing it. And so we need to be those who recognize that often one of the ways that God will grow us is through our waiting for a promise to be fulfilled. So again, think about Abraham. When God calls him, from the point God calls him in Genesis 12 to the point of Isaac's birth is 25 years. You know, I wonder if any of us are waiting for a promise of God to be fulfilled for that long. 25 years. From the moment probably that God specifically says he's going to give him a son is 15 years to the fulfillment of that promise. So Abraham had to wait a long time for the promise of God to be fulfilled. And you would expect, like, you know, kind of rational thinking would make you think that having to wait that long would weaken your faith. That having to wait that long would make you doubt the promise of God. And yet, actually, as we've seen from that Romans passage, the opposite of true is true. That his faith was strengthened in that time. And so we've got to realize that the waiting isn't wasted time. Okay? This time, this season for us as a church is not wasted time. There are things that God wants to do in us individually and corporately. There is a purpose in the waiting. God is doing something in us. And I've just literally last night finished a novel that I was reading. It's called The Pillars of the Earth. Anyone read The Pillars of the Earth? No one. Okay, so it's a really good book. It doesn't sound very interesting. Basically, it's 1,100 pages long about monks building a cathedral. That probably hasn't whetted your appetite. Thumbs up from Sarah Farrander. Yeah. Okay, so it's very sophisticated, Sarah. And so, yes, 1,100 pages about monks building a cathedral. And they start building it after about 100 pages. And they finish building it on about page 1,010. Okay, so it takes a long time for the cathedral to be built. And the reason that it takes such a long time is because at every kind of stage of the building, they have to stop and wait for the mortar, the stuff between the bricks, to dry. And the longer they wait, the stronger the structure becomes. And there's a point in the book where actually they try to rush it. They try to build the roof because they want to do it for this big day of celebration. And the roof caves in because they haven't allowed enough time for the strength to be formed. And so there is a risk that when we try to rush things, actually it leads us into places where we become weak and vulnerable that can lead to our own destruction. And so, like in the story of the cathedral, they have to learn how to wait. And in waiting, strength is added to the building. And in waiting, it's my belief that strength will be added to us as a church. And so the other question I want to leave with you this morning is, what is it that you're waiting for? What is it that you're waiting for? And what is God trying to speak to you about in the waiting? What is God trying to do in you through the waiting? Because it isn't wasted time. And where do we turn while we are waiting? I just want to read to you just as we draw to a close from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 to 31, famous verses. It says this: "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." See, the key in our waiting is not just to to wait without focus is to wait for the Lord, is to wait upon him, not just kind of busy ourselves doing other things while we wait, but to wait upon him. And the way that we wait for the promise of God to be fulfilled is to have complete trust and confidence in his timing. So if you just turn with me very briefly to Genesis chapter 21. So it says this at the start of Genesis chapter 21, when God's promise about the birth of a son to Abraham is fulfilled. It says this in verse 1. There's the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the time which God had spoken to him. Yeah, do you see the emphatic statements there about God's promise, ability, timing? As he had said, as he had promised, at the time which God had spoken to him. See, we don't need to fret and try to make stuff happen ourselves. We just need to wait on the Lord, trusting that at the right time, he will do what he has said he will do. So at the right time for Whitstable Community Church, we will be able to meet physically together. At the right time for Whitstable Community Church, we will begin to see people come to know him if we're faithful to what he's calling us to do. At the right time for Whitstable Community Church, we will begin to see greater demonstrations of his power amongst us. But it comes from waiting upon the Lord, trusting him in his timing, and allowing him to work in us and strengthen us in this season. So let me pray for us, and then I'll hand back to Lucy. I want to read just these verses from Psalm 27. Just speak these over us as a people. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Lord Jesus, I pray this over us as a people this morning, that we would, by your grace, be strong and take courage as we wait for you, Lord God. For us individually and us corporately, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would strengthen us, Lord, in this season of the in-between, where we've been sent out in some senses, but we've not yet fully arrived at our destination, Lord God, where things feel uncomfortable and challenging and different, unfamiliar, and we're thinking, when is this going to end? Lord, we just look to you again and say, Jesus, we trust in you. We say, come and have your way in us this morning, Lord, where we've settled. Lord, come and speak to us, Holy Spirit, this morning, just into our hearts, and just help us to honestly reflect, give us revelation of where have we settled in our heart? Where have we settled in our relationship with you? Where have we settled when it comes to our commitment to church? Where have we settled in our devotion to you, Jesus? Where have we settled in our giving? Where have we settled in our sharing of the gospel, Lord Jesus? We just pray, come and stir us, come and shake up the ground of our hearts, Lord God, that you might bring new life and fruitfulness and flourishing to us. We ask this in Jesus' name.